evening. Good evening, folks. And we're here on this Tuesday night edition of the program, Rick Adams Uncensored. I am back, and with me in the beginning of the program to start things off, and who knows, maybe longer, is Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. There is much to discuss with Ted, and Ted, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, I am. I have my ups and downs, but here I am, and we'll continue anyway, as long as we can. But, you know, Ted, one of the things that we've been looking at, and I know you have issued an email about, is the question surrounding these, you know, these elections now and the great dissatisfaction on the part of, I believe, the majority of Americans with this Obama administration and this rush to move to begin to support almost an any old port in the storm type of Republican opposition. And we were talking about that, you and I, and wondering exactly where all of this is coming from, who's behind it, what's behind it, and how will it wind up, exactly what is going on here. So I thought we'd have you come on the program and give us your views as to this new phenomenon, so to speak, that has just occurred, particularly in the old Ted Kennedy seat in Massachusetts with the election of Scott Brown. So here we are, Ted, and let me begin by asking you that question. What have you discovered, or what are your thoughts on what is transpiring right now?
Well, of course, there's a divergence of opinion among the Tea Party protesters and the inheritors of the town hall protests that consumed the summer. One faction says that we should infiltrate the Republican establishment, the Republican Party at the precinct level, take it over from the bottom up. The other point of view seems to hold out for the possibility of actually creating our own political party, and as a result of extremely high approval ratings in polls and test the straw voting and that kind of thing, that the Tea Party people are getting a huge amount of support from the American people, even in some polls more than the Republican Party itself. But I wrote an article last week. It's entitled "How God and the Tea Party Can Save America," and the occasion of this is this big Tea Party convention down in Memphis, just a week or so from now. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Palin has been booked as the primary speaker there. And Joseph Farah, who's the owner of WorldNet Daily, is unabashedly touting himself as a possible running mate with Sarah Palin, a possible vice presidential material. And the point I make in this article is largely that we better take it really slow on putting Israel first. Evangelical candidates as our potential president and vice president. If this movement should become sensationally successful and we actually get another Israel first combination of White House, it could lead to more disaster.
Yes, yeah, very interesting thoughts. We'll pick up on that when we come back with Ted Pike right here on Rick Adams Uncensored, only here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
We've just been too busy setting up our businesses. We didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
Back again with Ted Pike. And, you know, Ted, watching the media and the way the media handle it and condition us with poll after poll, I couldn't help but note, you know, that now they're telling us that the American public is fed up with Washington, with a poll showing 70% saying government isn't working well. Well, you know, that's sort of a nebulous statement. And, you know, I'm thankful that government, quite frankly, isn't working well, if that's the way you want to put it. But, you know, NBC, AP, and all of the other heavily influenced Jewish media are really making a heyday now, it seems to me, with this notion that people are really fed up. And as you point out, the Tea Party movement, so-called teabaggers, are into the forefront of this movement, and they're talking about running candidates to bring back America, bring back Washington to the states. And then you have to look a little closer and say, what is it these people really stand for? And in the case of Scott Brown, as you know, up until a few months ago, nobody gave Scott Brown a chance of taking the old seat, you know, held by Ted Kennedy. Just didn't think it was going to happen. And Ms. Coakley there, the blessed, you know, party, you know, torchbearer, was just assumed to be the new, you know, recipient of that throne. Didn't work out that way. And then you look at the people who were pushing Scott Brown and the neocon movement. All of this together made me scratch my wooden head, you know, and say to myself, what is it that's really going on here? And I'm sure that you've had some similar reactions, or at least thought about it and then looked at Mr. Brown's positions on Iran and on Israel, and they're rather extreme, hardline positions that only AIPAC and the neocon movement would be very proud of.
Yes. Well, the objective, of course, of this world revolutionary Zionist movement is to get control of both parties. And both both voices, liberal or conservative, so that in one way or another they fulfill Zionist objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm concerned about is that thinking that only pro-Zionist, pro-Israel establishment candidates have any hope of winning, that even people on the grassroots level who are aware of the threat of Jewish supremacism will say, well, we've got to do it that way because otherwise we will be defeated. My feeling is that if we have a bona fide and a legitimate and sincere upwelling of the American people, let's not corrupt it by making it the lackey of Israel and the Israel lobby. Let's go ahead and exert our pressure on the ground level, upsetting liberal candidates throughout all 50 states in coming elections. Let's get really informed. I suggest that the Tea Party could become the Whole Truth Party. We could bide our time if necessary and get thoroughly educated concerning where the Zionists have taken this country and how they're going to repeat disasters, foreign misadventures in even more countries unless we stop them. So I'm suggesting that even as early as this convention, which is on February 4th to 6th, that those who attend it and even those who might even hold up some signs outside of the Opryland Hotel there in Memphis, let the leaders of the Tea Party movement know that there is an increasingly powerful contingent in the a Tea Party movement, in this populist movement, who are going to say no to more wars for Israel, to Zionist candidates, to Israel first policies instead of America first policies.
And that's basically a populist sentiment, I mean, across America right now, although the media certainly wouldn't want to poll people specifically at this time on that question. I think it's pretty apparent that when Americans are talked about as they are in this poll from MSNBC, American public fed up with Washington, I think they're also fed up with the direction of Washington in meddling in international affairs. And quite frankly, we know that the public has not been so easily sold on this Obama surge in Afghanistan. They've shown very strong signs of concern that America is going down that road to endless wars again. So, you know, the common sense of Americans isn't totally denuded, if not totally taken from them. They do have a little bit of common sense left, maybe a lot. And I think that they would agree with you and me and most of our people that call and say, yes, that's right. Let's stop doing the bidding of other countries. Let's retrench. Let's call back our government, our funding. Let's take care of America first, and we ought to set our house in order. But, you know, can you imagine what would have happened, Ted, had Scott Brown come out and announced that he was going to do what Ms. Coakley purportedly was going to do with regard to Iran, to take the more diplomatic approach, Let's not rush to judgment. Let's not take more sanctions, hard line, pro-war. Let's talk about minding one's business. Stop doing the bidding of the Zionist lobby, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine what would have happened to him in the media mogul's eyes, the Boston Globe and all of the other establishment media?
Yeah, he would have been touted as an anti-Semite.
Right.
What we've seen in years past is that the Jewish internationalists begin grooming potential candidates for both sides well ahead of time. Many years, sometimes ahead of their actual trajectory onto the national scene.
Right on.
And what we don't want to see now is the acceptance, beginning of acceptance of large Jewish money into the Tea Party political movement, and commitments to people like Palin and Farah and others who are absolutely extreme Israel firsters. I point out in my article that Sarah Palin actually is, if she were elected president, she would give a green light to settlements to not only in East Jerusalem but all throughout the West Bank, totally inflaming the Arab world in an attempt to fulfill ancient biblical prophecies of Jewish control of the whole Holy Land all the way to.
That's because she can see those settlements from Alaska. That's why.
Yeah, and so I point out again in this article that we ought to learn a lesson from what happened under the Reagan Revolution.
Exactly. Yeah.
Our family was very concerned. In fact, I come from a Christian conservative pioneering family.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Parents were broadcasters and publishers and so on, attempting to get America out of 50 years of liberalism, starting with the New Deal under Roosevelt. And finally, we saw conservatism made popular and made respectable under Ronald Reagan. But what happened was, immediately, the Israel Firsters invited all of these neocons into these governments, especially in Bush 2. And here was Bush surrounded at his elbow on every quarter by possibly dual Zionist, Jewish Zionists there, so that when 9/11 occurred, they were all obviously encouraging him in a knee-jerk reflex to get America involved in the Middle East to make the Middle East safe for Israel. And of course, he took the carrot, he took the bait, he got us over there in flat-out defiance of the best advice of our founding fathers and great leaders such as Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur said that if we ever got involved in the Middle East militarily, it could lead to the destruction of the United States. And also General George Washington said that we should beware of foreign entanglements. Now, if the Tea Party starts taking Jewish money and starts working in and beginning to celebrate these dubious so-called conservatives who want to lead it, they're headed in only one way, and that is further debacles and military misadventures on behalf of Israel, which will again bring the liberals back into power. Should they succeed the first time, we will repeat the cycle. So what we have to do is we have to break that cycle. We have to speak out very boldly. And that's why I'm encouraging people who do live in the Memphis area, go ahead and make signs. And you go down there to the Opryland Hotel on February 4th through 6th, and let's just do the American thing. Hold up your sign. Say no more wars for Israel. Say America first, not Israel first. Catchy slogans like that. Let's let everybody in the Tea Party movement know that there's a new wind of change, of real change, and that is to get out of our unconditional support of Israel.
Yeah, I think some of the signs might even be less threatening to them, might even be stop the New World Order and bring America back, things that would appeal to a cross-section of the public without even mentioning Israel. You see, that's implied in a policy in which America comes first, not other countries or war. And, I think you see that most of the average people who make up this movement, who actually comprise the Tea Party movement, I believe are good, honest, hardworking, fed-up Americans who don't have a compass. They don't necessarily put their finger on what is actually wrong, but they know that we're moving in the wrong direction and have been for a long time. They're I think, ready to listen to those, if those who are doing the talking can get into the key positions of influence, and then they might understand that it is about an elite. It is about a group that controls these parties, takes over these movements, and then seeks to use them merely for their own ideological gain. So that Scott Brown, you know, may have tapped into that sentiment. He himself didn't think he was going to win for a while, and then here he is. He's sitting there now in the seat of the scornful. Well, he's got to be made to know what's going to happen if he doesn't toe the line with the people. We'll be right back, Ted. Hey, we'll take some calls along the way, too. Ted Pike, my guest, Rick Adams.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Molochs had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Molochs maintained them and bred them like cattle.
Here we are back again with our guest, Ted Pike. Ted, the fact is that polls can be awful deceiving, as you know. It depends on who takes them, how they're worded, and how many questions are asked, the way they're phrased. You know, for instance, they will claim in this poll that most people are not necessarily encouraging Republicans to take back Congress at this time. And they like a House and a Senate, basically, that is still dominated by Democratic leadership, so we're told. But at the same time, the idea is universally accepted now of growing dissatisfaction on the part of the people with their government. And the average person who doesn't listen to me, who doesn't get on your website, Truth Tellers, doesn't really know how to connect the dots.
No.
You see what I'm saying? And these are the people, the great unwashed, who, you know, for whatever reason, maybe still watch the propaganda on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox. They just can't get it in their heads as to what is actually going on. So they're going from from port to port in a storm-tossed sea, not knowing where they're going to wind up. But they're angry with the storm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely. On the other hand, there is undeniably a rising international criticism of Israel, especially after the Operation Cast Lead bombardment and embargo of the poor people in Gaza. And in fact, the Jerusalem Post had an article listing the 10 worst blunders of Israel in 2009. And it said number one, invasion of Gaza, number two, invasion of Gaza, and went all the way to number 10 with that same title. It's been a tremendous drain on the reservoir of prestige, which Israel still may have had among the nations, going back to the idealism of its founding over the last century. And so there's a rising criticism of Israel, especially in Europe, where literally now, almost every country, close to 50% of people on the street will be very critical of Israel, very suspicious of Jewish control of media, government, finance, and so on. It's rising rapidly. And even in the United States, as a result, largely of alternative talk radio, your program, and others, we are seeing a rising level of suspicion against Jewish supremacism in finance, in war-making potential in the White House, in the media, and so on. In fact, we sent out this latest e-alert that I just mentioned about the Tea Party to 600 Tea Party chapters in America.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an interesting, speaking of polls, the response we got back. Of course, a lot of these Tea Party people are WorldNet daily readers, followers of Farah and Palin and so on. But we got a very healthy response. I would say probably 40% of the responses we received were siding with us, who realized that we've got to break this chokehold of the Zionists upon our government and our foreign policy. And So there's change in the wind, and I think people like Alex Jones perform really quite a service, even though he's been criticized for not going after Israel like some would like him, and the Jewish issue. Nevertheless, he's casting a tremendously wide net, which is bringing people in to his conspiracy message, and then it doesn't take him too long before they're coming, they're listening to you, they're listening to me.
That's the good part.
coming to Rents and so on, especially Jeff Rents is doing an outstanding job of being a clearinghouse for these ideas. So there is real change. There's no doubt about it. There's real change in the wind, and I think it's your job and my job and Rents' job especially to take people from the grade school stage, which maybe Jones will bring them to, and bring them to the high school and college level, really getting specific about what's really the cause of the decline of our nation.
Well, you know, you would hope so and think so, and you know, you have to remind yourself of the old story of the person that went to the grocery store and got shortchanged every single time, 10 out of 10 times, and then finally said, I don't think it's a mistake anymore, you know, and realize they were being shortchanged deliberately. It does take some, you know, sometimes a lot of incidents like that before people start to think and start to question, and that's what it is so important about people learning. But, you know, from the pulpits, though, the real danger is for the evangelical movement, not the average American, but the evangelicals and the radicals in the pulpit today that teach these doctrines of demons, so to speak. You know, these people are just totally oblivious, for the most part, I think, to what's really going on from their pulpits, you know, Ted?
Well, you know, I had a rare opportunity, really, this fall to speak to literally millions of evangelicals. John Stadtmiller glowingly recommended me to Paul Walter, the head and owner of News with Views, which is an online conservative newspaper with about a couple hundred thousand coming in every day. And I wrote five or six excellent articles. In fact, they're the same articles that Rents put up.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about that.
All right, hold that thought. We'll come right back to you in just 3 minutes, and we'll talk about that and take a couple of calls along the way. For Ted Pike, Rick Adams, Uncensored, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, here we are back again with Ted Pike, my guest. And Ted, you were about to talk about your situation and your encounter with News with Views.
Yes, as I was mentioning, John Stadtmiller, the owner of Republic Broadcasting, glowingly recommended me as a writer to Paul Walter, got in touch with him, and he put me up immediately. And my first article was to alert the nation about the ADL's so-called Toxic Rage Report, 27-page report by the Anti-Defamation League that literally millions, according to ADL, of Obama protesters in America are now conspirators, and not just believers in conspiracy theories, but ADL was laying it out. They feel that these right-wingers are now real conspirators, doing everything they can to create false ideas and misrepresentations and lies against the Obama administration. And this article it just literally went viral. I had up to 100 websites, in fact, publishing, reprinting my the first three articles having to do with this. And it was interesting. This is almost an entirely evangelical Christian conservative audience, and yet, and about 50 emails suddenly flooded in as soon as he put that article up, claiming that it was anti-Semitic and Ted Pike was anti-Semitic. And one of the I got a quick call though in a few hours from an Orthodox rabbi in Southern California, Rabbi Shifrin. He loved the article. He said he hates the ADL, and I told him to get in touch with Walter and write his own article. So he put up a very powerful article entitled ADL versus Faith and Freedom, and it was sensationally effective. Immediately, all this criticism died down. because Rabbi Shifrin was saying that the ADL is indeed Jewish and that it intends to corrupt America and leading to a one-world government. Very radical statements, unprecedented for an Orthodox rabbi. And so I was kind of off and running, and I wrote five more articles, hot articles, critical of Israel, critical of ADL, and so on. And as I say, these were articles that were the same articles I was putting up on Rents, and you can hardly believe it, but not a single complaint came in for the next five articles posted on the News with Views. Finally, I wrote one more article criticizing Israel's persecution of Christians, increasing harassment by the Israeli government, and in fact against Messianic Jews. And then Paul Walder basically said, "I'm going to have to pull the plug on this. This is too much. It sounds like you're obsessed against the Jews." And so he told me that I could not write any more articles having to do with the subject of Jews for at least the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh,
and I realized I couldn't live under that, because so many, that the whole issue of Israel, Zionism, Jews, and so on is so varied and universal. I've got to be able to speak out the whole truth just as soon as I am led to, I believe, by the Lord. And anyway, we parted ways, and I wrote an article, which is posted at truthtellers.org, exposing this. I received enormous support from all of my subscribers, as well as Rents's readers and so on.
Yeah, that's very unnerving. And, you know, the thing is, it goes to show how even the best of people will kowtow and bend the knee when the pressure gets to be too strong.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a very discouraging sign, because it is somewhat, you know, making one think that it has biblical ramifications insofar as the last days and who will bow the knee and who will stand up for Jesus under tremendous pressure now. You know, I'm talking about a time in which it will be literally, it will be a terrorist act to be seen as a true Christian in the world scene. How many will defend the true Christian, provide him homage and support, and how many will say, "I'm sorry, but the heat's too great in the kitchen, we can't do it just now"? So that makes me think of those, you know, proportions in the scriptures. And I'll tell you, it's not very enticing, Ted, to hear of that, because unfortunately we're all too familiar with it.
Yeah,
we're all too familiar with it.
Well, Walter assured me as a rule, an editorial policy, he says, "I will always print anything you write that demonstrates bad people doing bad things to innocent people." And I said, "Well, that sounds like the government of Israel endorsing and looking the other way of persecution and harassment." But I found that rule had an exception, and that is for Israel. We'll allow the truth to be spoken about bad things being done by, let's say, Muslim governments in Egypt against Christians or whatever.
Nasty Nazis, you know.
But not when Israel is the bad government. You know, having back to that issue of possibly compromising our faith in times of extreme persecution.
Yeah.
I'm just sending out an email. It went out, in fact, about an hour ago from truthtellers.org, and people can access that immediately, in which I point out that, indeed, in the last days, the Antichrist, according to Scripture, will require all inhabitants of the earth to receive a mark, 666, either on their forehead or the back of their hand, in order that they can even buy and sell. And if they refuse to accept that, they will literally starve to death. But I point out that this big ENDA bill, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is going to be moving forward in the House, slated for the middle of February, in the House, it lays upon Christian employers extremely damaging and compromising requirements that Christians employers have to hire homosexuals. They cannot criticize them on the job for their sexual orientation. they cannot even witness to them, probably without fear of a civil rights harassment suit, and certainly they cannot fire them for homosexual behavior on the job. And if a Christian goes along with this and submits to the federal government's requirements of a criticism-free policy and acceptance of homosexuality in the workplace or in Christian churches, this will be for Christian churches in non-spiritual positions, it seems to me that in our time of relative prosperity, that's an even bigger compromise and an even bigger treachery to Jesus Christ than what people will have to do in the last days under Antichrist.
Yeah, and we'll have to get into that a little bit more, that ENDA bill. We talked about that in previous programs, you know, when the main bill that we were concerned about, the hate speech, hate crimes bill, was being pushed through Congress. And now that that has been approved and signed, now you have this slew of other legislation to contend yourself with. So we'll have to get into that. I want to take a call or two now, though, and let's see if we can get to our calls and keep our message as brief as we can. Speaking with Ted Pike, our guest of truthtellers.org. Let me start off the conversation here, Ted, with Lark in Texas. Hello there, Lark.
Well, how are you, sir? How are you,
okay,
Reverend Pike?
Good. Good,
yes,
Lark.
Lark.
Go ahead.
I remember you. I heard from you last time I was on this show.
Yes.
Well, I was anxious to get back on and say hello again. I appreciate so much what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Forgive me for sounding like a broken record. I mentioned the word communitarian to you once before. I think we all know that the public discourse is pretty much controlled. And we know that we're being steered towards infighting really on purpose and for a reason. But I wanted to share with you, for you and your audience, gentlemen, this particular note. This is from Salon Magazine online from the 10th. This is just prior to the election of Scott Brown. And this is a quote from Bill Clinton, who flew in from Haiti, supposedly bedraggled and tired, as the U.S. government is being used to virtually take that country over. But he said, in supporting Martha Coakley, "You need to take this Tea Party idea back," he told the wildly cheering crowds in Boston and later in Worcester. "They say that the original Boston Tea Party was anti-government, but that is wrong. The Massachusetts Bay Colony had a strong government. They weren't liberals or conservatives. They were communitarians, which means they knew we're all in this together."
Right.
So what I see happening is this word communitarian being used by now both Clintons with the Democratic audience, when in fact we know that Scott Brown is a communitarian. However, he won't use this word, nor will anybody on the right. And, of course, you don't see this word or hear this word being bandied about at all over the airwaves. And so when Americans get wise up and when they realize how they're being used, even sites like WorldNet Daily, and I used to have conversations with Alan Stang before he passed away. So I have an appreciation for the divide between Christians and Jews, that because Alan Stang himself was understanding of this term communitarian. But I only wanted to add that, and I would hope that we can drop this word more often so that more people can wake up and simply understand how we're being used through our own language.
That's true, and he does make a good point, Ted. I know he brought that up to you last time, and you might have a comment on that right now as well.
Well, these movements, the ideology, the terms, the lingo, these things continue to morph through history. And if there's one thing we should learn about the World Revolutionary Movement, the Illuminati, and all of them, they are infinitely adaptive to new times, new approaches. But what we must never forget is that there is an eye behind this octopus, and I believe it is well demonstrated by history that it comes right out of the Talmud and Kabbalah and so on. And I certainly a lark and would be willing to continue to adapt as you suggest. But I, at the same time, I'm never going to allow my listeners to lose sight of the fact that there's a great spiritual antagonism basically between the ancient Pharisees and their spiritual ancestors, which include our spiritual descendants, which include Bolsheviks, ADL, B'nai B'rith, and so on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Lark. We're going to move along. Thank you. Our number is 800-313-9443. Toll free at 800-313-9443. We have Joe in Rhode Island on next. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Rick.
Yes.
Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you.
Hi, Ted.
Hello, Joe.
Ted, I was just wondering, are you familiar with any groups today, more or less global forums of spiritual and political leaders getting together for the cause of human survival? Or I might zero in a little deeper than that, humanitarian efforts or humanitarian religions. Are you familiar with any groups like this, Ted?
Well, we always have ecumenical movements and high-minded international movements. I don't know exactly quite what you're driving at. If you're talking about a completely enlightened a group of people and organizations which really are in the know about what's wrong with our government and what we can do right about it, about all I can say is that I'm really quite proud of alternative talk radio and alternative media, particularly the Internet. As I mentioned earlier, people like Rents and Republic Broadcasting and so on, that are doing a wonderful job of getting the whole truth out to the nations.
All right, Ted, if I can zero in a little bit closer on this, in Revelation 13, it talks about 13:1, it talks about the first beast. And I stood upon the stand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. It was the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. This would be seven continents with 10 kings. Over here in Revelation 13.
Well, not necessarily seven continents. I don't think it's quite that specific, but it certainly is seven heads and 10 horns, meaning certainly seven national entities and their rulers of some kind.
But it would be a global thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. Over in verse 11, Ted, there was another beast. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This one came out of the earth, not the sea.
Yes.
And he had two horns like a lamb. Remember the Lamb of God?
Uh-huh.
And he spake as a dragon. You see, this is none other than a religious beast.
Yes, absolutely.
What did this religious beast do? This beast, if you read the next few verses, actually healed the deadly wound to this political beast. Are we seeing this today, Ted? Is this what we're seeing now happening?
Well,
religious entity.
I don't think we've quite arrived to that stage. In my opinion, the Jews have been looking for a substitute for Christ literally for the last 2,000 years. And they eagerly anticipate his arrival as the false Messiah of Judaism, and he will be accepted. The Jewish nation, Israel, will make a covenant with him, but I believe that it's going to go sour, and it may well be that the elders of Zion will actually assassinate this supposed Messiah, and he will be miraculously raised from the dead in imitation of Jesus' death and resurrection after 3 days. And at that time, in my according to my eschatology, Joe, this false religious leader, the beast that has speaks like a lamb and has horns like a lamb, speaks like a dragon and has horns like a lamb, will unite the nations in a religious worship of the Antichrist.
All right. Joe, did you want to hang on for one more segment, or did you finish?
Yes, Rick. Yes, Rick.
All right. We'll come right back, and then we'll take more calls. Just ahead for Ted Pike, Rick Adams, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org. And we're back, and we have Joe in Rhode Island. Did you want to just sum up with Ted on the point you were trying to make here?
Yes, Rick. Ted, the failure of, I see it this way, the failure of the one world political system is right in front of our face. It's happening right now. This is a deadly wound to a major power in the world, and in my state and neighboring state, Connecticut, Rhode Island and Connecticut, they're arming to the teeth. They're building nuclear submarines as fast as you can snap an eye. They're hiring people to beat the band. They can't hire enough people to build these nuclear attack submarines. This means that the one world system is falling apart, Ted. All the other nations of the world, the big powers, are all arming to the teeth. That's why they're melting their plowshares into arms. Not melting their arms into plowshares. You see, it's either the one world government or its arms building. You can't have both. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to see a complete failure of people and their governments worldwide. And what's going to happen is the people are going to go to religious leaders, these people that are waiting in the wings. It's all an orchestration to solve their problems. This is the religious beast. It's waiting in the wings.
Well, I have to disagree with you, Joe. I think we are moving toward a one-world order very, very powerfully. I take hope in the fact that the nations are rising to a certain extent in criticism of Israel, particularly concerning the Gaza situation. The nations like Sweden and Norway, even Greece, Turkey now, have been quite pointed, even strident in the criticism of Israel. And as I mentioned earlier, half of Europeans now are critical of Israel. But the Antichrist is a personality, in my opinion. Scripture describes himself as the man of sin who imitates Jesus in many ways. And he is a personality who will rise as a one-world governor. He will unite the nations. He will be assassinated, but when he rises from the dead, he will be empowered, literally, as Satan incarnate, to do great miracles in the sight of mankind and so on. And he will turn upon the Jews who have brought him to his position of power. He will utterly desecrate Jerusalem and the temple, committing the abomination of desolation, and then lead the remnant of Jews into terrible, terrible persecution known as the Great Tribulation. And in my eschatology, again, I believe that out of this tremendous collapse of the whole Zionist experiment, the whole Jewish world revolutionary movement, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, a remnant of Jews will look upon him whom their fathers pierced. They will mourn. They will return in repentance and recognition of him as the true Messiah, and he will bring them back to Palestine in the first and only truly legitimate return to Palestine in the last 2,000 years. So I'm not ready at all to believe that we are witnessing the collapse of the New World Order at this time. We're actually in the foothills of Antichrist, leading to very, very ominous developments. And what I do is I speak the truth and I call for national repentance, because God is merciful and he can withhold and restrain even things which are fated to come to pass according to biblical prophecy.
Well, Ted, I say it's great to see this discussion raised to such a high level now. And that I, my prayer is that there's people out there listening that understand what we're talking about. And that we can have this kind of discussion at this time, in this day and age, is remarkable.
All right, okay, Joe. All right. Thank you. We'll pursue it again, different points of view, but we'll do it. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's take a quick break. Ted, you can stay a little bit more?
You bet. Thanks, Rick.
All right, let's take another call when we come right back.